My name's Richard Downey, Deputy Director of the Africa Programme at the Centre for Strategic and International Studies. The CSIS Africa Programme has just completed a large project looking at the risks to stability in 10 different countries in sub-Saharan Africa in the coming decade. I'm pleased to be joined by the author of one of these reports on Ghana, David Throop. Dr. Throop is a senior associate with the CSIS Africa Programme, as well as an academic, former senior research officer for Africa at the Foreign and Commonwealth Office in London, where he was responsible for providing political analysis for 20 countries in East and West Africa. David, thanks for joining us. Of the 10 countries in our study, Ghana is one of those that's held up as one of the success stories, really, in the continent, stable, peaceful, 20 years now of democracy, but you point to some potential problems under the surface. What are some of the most important of those?
Well, I think youth unemployment is a big issue, so that in Accra, something like 70 to 80% of youth are unemployed. The manufacturing sector is fairly stagnant. It's remained at 9% of GDP, more or less, for the last 50 years. And is not really absorbing many people into gainful employment. You also have, I think, increasing ethnic polarization in the political system, where the NPP candidate for the presidency, the opposition leader, has basically appealed to a Akan unity to challenge the power of the ruling National Democratic Congress. So we're seeing growing polarization in advance of the December 2012 general election. And we have a political system which is very dependent, really, on a highly centralized degree of presidential patronage. Patronage is fundamental to Ghanaian politics. And I think that distorts rational economic decision-making, which is going to become more and more crucial, really, with the advent of revenue from petroleum.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about that. You say that this patronage issue is becoming very much more important and relevant now that now Ghana is becoming an oil producer. We hear so much in Africa about the so-called resource curse, where natural resource wealth, instead of helping economies, ends up damaging them, fueling corruption, fails to trickle down into better standards of living for ordinary people. Can Ghana escape the oil curse? It's oil's just come online in a serious way at the end of last year. What do you think the prospects are?
I don't know is the answer. I think the question is very much open-ended. Oil could be a wonderful windfall development for Ghana. It would provide the state with revenue to modernize the infrastructure, to promote agricultural development in the north, to refurbish the road and sewage system in Accra and other southern cities. So if the money is well spent, it could be a marvelous opportunity for Ghana really to solidify its position as a middle-income country. The oil revenue amounts, if you like, to about 25-30% of total government expenditure. Revenue from oil will amount to just about the same figure as total international development assistance. So it's a big chunk of change, and if it's used properly, it could galvanize Ghana's economy. But equally, I think there's a serious risk, given the patronage structure of Ghanaian politics, that it will be misused.
Right.
That politicians will use it to basically bolster their own constituencies of support.
Right, right. Of course, one of the problems, I guess, with the petroleum industry, it doesn't generate very many jobs. And you said at the outset of your comments that this is one of the structural problems within the economy in Ghana. It's failing to kind of generate enough jobs, particularly for young people. Is that likely to become a more problematic situation with the arrival of oil as a major source of economic wealth?
I think that there is a problem that with the advent of all this revenue foreign exchange, that you will have the effects of Dutch disease, where there is a real risk that, Ghana's manufacturing production and even Ghanaian cocoa might be priced out of the market to a certain extent, as you have the appreciation of the currency, making Ghanaian exports less and less competitive against some of its neighbors like Cameroon and Cote d'Ivoire. But the risks of that, I think, are fairly slender, because the amount of oil, although it is significant, isn't monumental. Ghana has only about 2% of the oil deposits of Nigeria, for example. So it's not likely to have the same totally destructive effects on the economy and particularly the agricultural sector as it has had in Nigeria over the last 40 years.
Right, right. Well, let's turn to politics now. The last election in Ghana back in 2007 was an incredibly close affair. All the indications suggest that next year's 2012 election is going to be similarly close. You know, across the 10 studies that we've done, it seems that elections in the democratic countries, at least, are a potential trigger for instability, even violence. Do you think Ghana's vulnerable?
Yes, I do, actually. I think the Ghanaians were very, very fortunate in December 2008 to escape a scenario of major conflict. Perhaps not as severe as in Kenya, but certainly one which would have shattered Ghana's image as a pristine democracy in Africa. 2008 was the second time that you've had a transfer of power between political parties, the two main parties, the right-wing pro-capitalist New Patriotic Party of Mr. Akufo-Addo, and Professor Atta Mills' National Democratic Congress, which is a more populist, a more social democratic ideology. The two parties are just about equally divided or equally strong in their support, with the Ashanti region lining up 75-80% of the vote behind the Conservative MPP, Togoland, the Ewe people, lining up about 85-90% behind the National Democratic Congress, and the other 70% of Ghanaians basically in the middle, swinging backwards and forwards in terms of government performance. So Ghana is absolutely divided. The strengths of the parties are about 50% of the population versus 50% of the population. And we can already see last August, the New Patriotic Party already nominated Mr. Akufo-Addo as presidential candidate yet again. There is a certain amount of turmoil in the governing National Democratic Congress as Mrs. Rawlings is challenged what looks to the populace as a fairly lackluster performance of Professor Atta Mills over the last 3.5 years. I would say the next 18 months are going to be very, very bumpy.
Right.
And the problems are going to be exacerbated because of the importance of oil.
Right,
Both
so much more
parties
at stake,
believe
say.
Much more at stake. If we can get our hands on the levers of power in December 2012, then we can control the disbursement of oil revenue, and that will be a tremendous political patronage advantage. We'll be able to promote development according to our priorities and our regional strengths. So there's an expectation that the election of December 2012 is going to set the terms, not simply for the next 4 years, but probably the next 8 or even 12 years. So there's a great deal to be fought for, and both parties are girding up for a very, very serious battle.
Okay, so very uncertain, at least 12 months ahead. Just in conclusion, what's your overall assessment of Ghana's prospects for stability in the coming decade? Are you optimistic that, you know, on balance, Ghana does have that sort of residual institutional strength to withstand some of these vulnerabilities you've mentioned?
I think it probably does. Ghana could get it completely right. It could disperse its oil revenue sensibly. It could promote long-term infrastructural development. It could promote economic growth. It could push forward an accelerated development program in the Savannah North, stopping some of the flow of population from the northern region down to the coastal cities. It has the opportunity, especially now that it has the oil revenue, really to make a quantum leap, to a really transformative opportunity. But equally, patronage, corruption, the corrosive effects of drug revenue on the police and the judiciary and the political system all means that Ghana could go very badly wrong. And we could see the danger, and I think it's already evident in the discourse, of an increasing ethnicization in a very negative way in Ghanaian politics. So your guess is as good as mine, in a sense. They could really move forward dramatically and become one of the dynamos of economic development in the African continent, or it could go seriously wrong. Right. My overall expectation is they will muddle through. It
right.
won't be perfect. They will make mistakes, mm-hmm. but it won't come apart at the seams. That we will have consistent progress. Ghanaians will get increasingly more prosperous, that the economy will become more sophisticated, that there will be a certain amount of infrastructural development, but money will be wasted, corruption will grow, there will be continuing social tensions.
Right.
So it could be perfect, it could be disastrous. My expectation is that it's going to be somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle. Okay, David, hedging your bets, but thank you very much for that analysis. And, of course, you can read the whole report, Ghana Assessing Risks to Stability, by going to our website, which is at csis.org/program/Africa-program. Thank you, David.